Oh, and welcome back. Another hour of the Annie Fry Show. I'm Ryan Recker filling in. You can find me online, Ryan Recker Radio, Facebook there, Ryan Recker on Twitter. And we do have a YouTube poll question that is up. There's still some time to go and vote on that. Wiggins, what is the live chat poll?
Yeah, anytime before three, just vote on how you feel about this question. Is the GOP convention having an effect on the election? Not necessarily with you, but is it going to have an effect in general on the election? Let us know what you think.
We give our answers later, too. I don't want to say it yet, just in case.
We can give them really whenever you want. Typically, we'll wait until closer to the end, but it's up to you.
Okay, that works. Did you see any of the MLB All-Star Game or the Home Run Derby this week?
I haven't seen much of it at all, but the resident baseball expert happens to be in the room, Ethan, so I'm sure he can fill us in, depending on whether how much you've watched, I guess.
Yeah, I was able to watch a good portion of both of them, and I think you could argue that, you know, it was fun, it was entertaining, but perhaps the most entertaining part wasn't even what happened during the play.
I think major kudos for that transition and that setup, Ethan.
That's a very good job.
I got to say, that was really good, because what really people are talking about is the national anthem that happened before the Home Run Derby. And I don't know this artist, Ingrid Andress. Apparently, she's won Grammys, and she's a country star. Did you know her before this? I did not.
I've heard the name.
I did not know who she was.
But I didn't know. No.
Okay, so it's pretty bad, this national anthem rendition. I think most people would agree. Let's play some of it and take a listen if we could.
Who's broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, or the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs. Ooh.
Oh, no. Oh, boy.
Wow. That's the first time I've heard that.
That's a little rough, huh? Oh, boy.
Goosebumps.
So, is this why Whitney Houston, even during the Super Bowl, decided to lip sync the national anthem? That was recorded and replayed.
She may have rolled over in her grave hearing that.
She did, though. Oh, yeah. Whitney Houston. Yeah. Anyone that can perform it live renditions like that. Is this the reason why they lip sync, number one? But number two, there's a reason why her performance was subpar. Did you see why? I'll give you a guess if you have not.
So this is the only thing I have. I hadn't actually heard the anthem. I saw people talking about it and talking about her response of what happened. So I have seen this part.
Okay. So she said she was drunk. And then she put out a statement that said, I'm checking myself into a facility today to get the help I need. I'm guessing she overserved herself or someone overserved her. And if you're going into like a performance, let me just say this. If your job is to do the national anthem and it's like really, 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 really important to you that you just perform this one job, or let's say there's players on the field, let's say your starting pitcher is in the World Series, and you see them chugging Jack Daniels before the game, you're probably, hey, put that down right now. You can't have any of this. Apparently, they let her go through with this, it sounds like. And she went up onto the field, did her thing, left. The whole world made fun of her. They said, oh, this is terrible. And now she's like, okay, this is why. I was drunk, and now I need to get help. Then people start to feel really bad, like, oh, boy, okay, maybe we might have been a little hard on you, but I'm glad you're getting the help.
I have seen a lot of, hey, since we've been talking about being in the entertainment industry, my television company used to have an entertainment lawyer based in Chicago, who was a lawyer for a lot of big stars. And just talking to him kind of off the record, he would talk about how this world works, where somebody goes out, does something or says something stupid, or maybe even not stupid, but just that they wish they wouldn't have said because somebody says, hey, that was insensitive or whatever. They never, ever, ever draft their own apology, or usually it's an apology. Sometimes it'll be a rebuttal, but most of the time it's an apology and, oh, I really feel bad about that. I retract my statement. I shouldn't have done that, blah, blah, blah.
I retract my national anthem.
Whatever it was. So most of the time when you hear these things, they're not actually the person saying it. They have a team of people, which is probably no big surprise, but it's true. They have a team of people who come out and say, here's how to handle this the best to make it go away as fast as possible. That said, this...
You don't believe she's in rehab?
No, what I'm saying is, I actually do believe this, because it does sound like if she's a Grammy Award-winning artist, she clearly can sing better than that. She sounds like, in this anthem, like she's just a really bad singer, or... And this would have been another explanation if you really wanted to, you know, use something and not say, oh, I'm an alcoholic... You could have said, look, the mic that I had in my ear had a 1 second delay on it. Have you ever tried doing something with a delay?
Yeah, it's, but you know, awful. What?
Isn't that most anthems, though, at most stadiums? There's a tends to be an echo from the speakers.
Yeah, but they don't end up like that.
Yeah, Steven Tyler, that happened to him. He took his earpiece out and performed it without it and did fantastic. So true pros can do it. You know, I just wanted to correct myself because I said the wrong thing. She's a 4-time Grammy nominee. So
nominee.
I screwed up. I didn't put that nominee in there. So I just wanted to mention that real quick. When it comes to like politicians, for example, number one, no one apologizes anymore. So it's kind of a fresh thing that someone that did something not great came out and actually said, I'm sorry, I was drunk and I'm going to get help. That's actually pretty refreshing, because I think that the way she's handling it should be handled more often. Like, this is a rare thing. And that's the sad thing, that this is rare.
I mean, to be fair, it probably saved her career, her putting that out there. I mean, if you don't, then, and if people don't know that, then what are they thinking of you? That's 100%. Performed the worst anthem of all time.
That's 100% true. I completely agree with that, which means it could be PR that's coming out and saying this. However, if you are a 4-time Grammy nominee, with all respect to the Grammys, you know how to, even if you're a bad singer and they put you through auto tune about 50 times before you put your record out, you still can hold the tune better than that. So there's something going on there, and being drunk is a very good possibility of what was going on there, because that's terrible.
Yep. And what's the excuses of all these other performers that have done terrible national anthems in the past? Speaking of music, I guess, and singing, did you see the whole Jack Black, Tenacious D controversy that happened? I think they're in Australia doing a concert. And so Jack Black, he not only is a musician, I think that's the way he started, was music, but also an actor, very funny comedian. And like the roles he plays, he's just, you know, just the big dude that's, you know, very energetic, and he yells and screams, and he can, you know, he's kind of like the Chris Farley in that sense. Like, you know, for a big dude, he can make some pretty big moves. But he was always looked at as a good guy. Like, in the industry, people would look like, oh, that Jack Black's a good guy. Like, oh, he looks like he donated all this money here. He supported this cause. Like, oh, he's always like done a good job at his public image. And then he goes on stage, and apparently, this is what happened on stage. Sydney, Australia, on Sunday, his Kyle Gass is the musician that he plays with. It's like a 2-person band. Gass was presented with a birthday cake and was asked to make a wish by Jack Black. And Gass responded, quote, "Don't miss Trump next time." Now, this is in response to the assassination attempt, the failed assassination attempt to Donald Trump's life. Well, as you can imagine, not everyone took that the right way, as they shouldn't. So now Tenacious D, the group that he's part of, have canceled the rest of their tour after the remarks on the don't miss next time when it comes to the assassination. Here's the problem I run into. The more I pay attention to Hollywood and people that I thought were good guys, it turns out there's no good guys anymore. It's like, are there any good guys left that you can look at and say, okay, I can enjoy them for more than their work? Or can you only basically enjoy someone for only what they put on the screen. And after that, you have to just completely hit the mute button.
You know what's hard about this is that there actually are a lot of those people, but they don't come to mind when you have these conversations because they deliberately don't want to come to mind. You know, they stay quiet on these things. My feed, oddly, reminds me, I've said this before on the Andy Price Show, so pardon me, but for whatever reason, the Facebook algorithm that gives you LeBron James and Michael Jordan conversations like every time you log on always tells me how great of a guy Keanu Reeves is. It's always about, oh, look, he's on a train and he sat next to an elderly woman and treated her to a bowl of soup.
As well as Meghan Trainor's dog's hair. Correct?
That one too.
That one also.
That's an ad though.
Oh, okay.
That's an ad.
This is different. Got it.
Go ahead. There are celebrities out there, and I would actually venture to say it's probably the majority of them that stay relatively quiet on these issues. And so we never, like Paul Rudd, for instance, where does he stand politically? No idea.
We shouldn't know.
Very glad about that. There's a lot of those people.
Let me read, I'll read the response that they post online, which I'll go back to what you said before. It's not their response, it's their PR firm's response or their lawyer's response. Quote, this was on Jack Black's Instagram. The line, okay, so maybe this is on Jack Black's Instagram, but it was on behalf of his partner. It says, quote, the line I improvised Sunday night in Sydney was highly inappropriate, dangerous, and a terrible mistake. I don't condone violence in any kind, in any form, against anyone. What happened was a tragedy, and I'm incredibly sorry for my severe lack of judgment. Does that sound like him, or does that sound like
a
PR firm?
That's a PR firm, 100%.
Yeah, so they had to cancel the concert. And how mad are you if you actually had like tickets to that concert and you're really looking forward to it for the last 6 months, then they say something stupid like that and they cancel it? Now, being in Australia, you don't just make it to Australia often. Like, this is a special thing. He was going to be in New Zealand the month before. Apparently, he was there. So they were hitting different areas. When I see this, I think, man, the less I know about people, the better off I am. Like, honestly, the less I know.
And doesn't it make you wonder how many times in the past, you know, these things would happen? Somebody would say something crazy at a show, but not everybody had an iPhone. And so you wouldn't really know. And maybe word of mouth would get out that somebody had said something pretty incendiary, but it wouldn't be recorded for you to actually see yourself. I was looking at Jack Black's actual statement that he gave on this. He says, I was blindsided by what was said at the show on Sunday. I would never condone hate speech or encourage political violence in any form. After much reflection, I no longer feel it is appropriate to continue the Tenacious D tour, and all future creative plans are on hold. That's a big statement. I am grateful to the fans for their support and understanding. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. What did they say? Never meet your heroes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why is that? Because this.
Because they're people.
That's exactly the reason. Because they're people, and they got problems too. All right. When we come back after the break, I saw this other story, and I was trying to find things that aren't 100% political, but this can turn political very quickly. There's apparently a remote tribe in the Amazon that has reemerged. And I thought to myself, if you had a chance to communicate with them, to tell them what the world's like, what would your message be to them? Like, how would you describe the world today when they are in their own atmosphere, their own bubble that's completely cut off from the rest of the world? So maybe we answer that question coming up after the break. Also, there's this one story about dogs being pulled from the St. Clair County Animal Services building. Man, what a life of a dog. You're just one day you're in a cage waiting for someone to pick you up. Next thing you know, water's rising and your legs are little. So let's talk about that local story, too, coming up. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Annie Fry on 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back. Got a couple of headlines for you guys. Adam Schiff calls for Biden to, quote, pass the torch. You know, a little too late, I think. And Joe Biden recently came out and said he would only reevaluate his candidacy based on a medical condition. Well, I don't know if, let's say, dementia or Parkinson's is a medical condition he'd consider, but it sounds like he has some good options to pick from that he would be able to relay that to. So maybe they're setting the ground for him to get replaced. Let me put it this way. I think there's some similarities back in 2016 when Donald Trump was getting some ground in the Republican Party, and it got to the point where he was so divisive. They said, this is so different than any traditional candidate we've ever had. There's no way you'll ever be able to beat Hillary Clinton because she is such a powerhouse. Her last name's Clinton, after all. And somehow he pulled it out. But remember, they were talking about, will you pledge to the Republican Party if you're not the candidate? Will you pledge to the Republican Party? Now, I think this pledge to the Democrat Party is going on in reverse. So they're not saying like, hey, Joe Biden, will you pledge to the Democrat Party? We want you to pledge by leaving. We want you out. It's like the reverse Trump going on here, I think, in 2024. Do you see a little bit of like, hey, for the sake of the party, the only reason they're doing this is the like reverse pledge?
I don't know. The news items you just read are very, very news, because like that just happened within the last like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
The one about Adam Schiff, you know, Fox just reported on that he's a big name. I wouldn't necessarily put him in Democrat leadership yet. I mean, he's right on the bubble there of being called Democrat leadership. He's kind of in committees. He's a big name. So it is a big deal. But the other item you just read about Biden saying to, was it to a radio host somewhere or something like that's being reported?
Let me get the quote here. Hold on. But go ahead.
Yeah.
BET News' Ed Gordon questioned the president. So this was part of the thing. And I think Ethan messaged me part of this too, right? Ethan sent me a message on a text message. So yeah, this happened just recently too.
So yeah, so it's being reported that he said, look, if a doctor says that I'm unfit to serve, then I would step down. I think a lot of people are interpreting that as, well, he's sort of giving a couple indications that maybe he could bow out gracefully and this is how he would do it. I actually read that the exact opposite, that he's saying, look, a doctor would have to tell me I'm incapable of serving. And we know that he's not going to see those doctors because he won't release any of that information. So I think he's doing the opposite and saying, look, no doctor is saying that, therefore I won't.
He's basically saying that he would step down before a constitutional amendment forces him out. So let's look at it this way. Maybe he's saying this because he knows that this would be the statesman thing to do. But I think that ship has sailed. If he, knowing what we know, I think we've all known that Joe Biden's been in terrible mental shape. I knew this during the last election. I wasn't afraid to say it and talk about it. His mental decline is very evident, but they hid it for so long. And I like what Greg Gutfeld said about it, essentially saying that the media is not mad. They're mad that we finally found out about it. Everything that people already knew about him, that the public got to see this side of him that they've tried to hide for as long as they have. Going back to what Adam Schiff said, I truly believe this, and I don't have proof of it, but I truly believe Adam Schiff was one of the people that leaked a lot of this quote unquote information on Donald Trump back during the other election. All signs point to him, the ones leaking this information to the media. The media reports on it from their source. Adam Schiff is apparently a credible enough source that they didn't corroborate the account. They just took his word for it. They report the false information. And then the Democrat Party goes back and points, see, CNN said it, MSNBC said it, so it has to be true. I think it was just a game that Adam Schiff was playing. And again, I don't think we'll ever be able to prove this, and I can't prove it right now, but I truly believe that's what happened. So I think Adam Schiff is a power player. I think he sabotaged a lot in the other elections in order to try to spin this for the Democrat side. He's a power player behind the scenes, but someone that's pretty well known, I guess, in Congress. So I would put him up there a little bit higher in some of these tier levels of, I guess, manipulative Democrats.
He is exactly that. He is one of the most manipulative, and the media would just eat anything he had to say because they just wanted anti-Trump stories, and he was very willing to give them. He would lie to them, and that's why he was censured by Congress. They had a vote, and they voted to go ahead and censure him. It doesn't do anything. It's just an act of show, but they did it. It's not a common thing to do, but they did it because he lied so much and provably. He would say things publicly that we know weren't true. I think it was during, it was maybe during the impeachment, the first impeachment, that he would say, look, we have the smoking gun. And so everybody's reporting, oh my gosh, this is a big deal. and there would be nothing. Or he would make things up and, you know, bring in sources that didn't really have that much of a connection to say things so that he could just repeat it. It was all about the narrative. That guy's gross. He's very, very disgusting because people that do that. Look, if Republicans did it, I'd call that out too. George Santos was a liar. We all said it. It's very true. And Republicans got rid of him. What did they do with Adam Schiff? They're going to make him a senator.
You know what? We're really not talking about Menendez at all, the senator out of New Jersey. He was found guilty yesterday, wasn't he?
Yeah, guilty on all 16 counts.
What a corruption that goes on there. And no one's talking about that either. It seems like that's kind of getting swept under the rug. That's a really big deal. It goes to show you just how crazy the news cycle is right now, where something like that, a high-ranking Democrat senator, could be found guilty on all these different counts, and it makes like a blip for a second. It's back out.
Yeah.
Real quick, I wanted to bring up this one story I saw online. It's a story by Rachel Panett. Rarely seen Amazon tribe emerges from rainforest as loggers move in. So their ecosystem has loggers and people that are pulling these trees down, but there is a remote tribe in the Amazon where they live. And I got to say, I thought to myself, how would you try to start to describe the rest of the world to them? Where would you start? Like, if, for them, all they know is their direct surrounding. Right. They don't know anything else of the world. What you, Ryan Wiggins, you're someone that is an author. You pitch TV shows for pennies on the dollar. You have all like what would make for a good storyline. Where would you start with this tribe to describe the rest of the world?
So this is a group of people who've been completely isolated from everything or just for the last few years?
Isolated completely from everything.
I mean, you'd have to start, but what's the difference between science and magic? I mean, you'd have to explain, like, this is how things work. We figured out how to do this and that, if you could speak the same language, of course, and start from very, very basic things about what is your worldview, because how do you even communicate some of the concepts that we have to people that may not have that framework for even understanding. Missionaries run into this. At least they have in the past. I don't know. The world's getting smaller, so I don't know how much this happens now. But missionaries trying to explain Christ to somebody a lot of times would have to figure out what their framework of understanding even was first before they could explain who Christ was and how he is a redeemer, because it didn't fit the worldview even to explain it just as basic fact.
You know, so it's so fascinating you take that angle, because I think there is like a deeper meaning to it, because you think about the knowledge that's shared through the Bible and trying to portray God's wisdom in a way humans can understand. It's almost like you going to this tribe is a godlike way of trying to explain a concept that no one can understand. Like it's almost that type of it's almost like that type of situation that's going on there. And, you know, language barrier set aside, let's say there was no language barrier. Would this be something you would enjoy doing? Like, would you enjoy trying to introduce the world, or would it just be such a problem to portray it the right way that it's like a task that you can't even begin to think of?
Man, I don't know. That doesn't sound like something that I could do well.
That's your next TV show. You pitching the, you can try to explain to these tribes what the world's
it's
like.
It's a reality show.
Not reality terrible. Show. No.
But I've heard a great story. This was and it just came to mind as we've been talking about this. I knew a missionary or was friends with somebody who was friends with this missionary. I can't remember if I was hearing it firsthand or secondhand, but the story was that they went to one of these tribes, and this was probably 20 years ago, a group of people, and don't ask me where, don't remember, but the group of people was completely isolated, like you said. And it's probably the 90s is when this happened, because the story had then filtered into, you know, me hearing it 10 years later. That the person was trying to explain forgiveness, the concept of forgiveness, of being forgiven by God and then forgiving others, to this group of people that had never heard that concept. And they could not understand it. Like they had never, ever forgiven, because it was a very vengeance-based society. So they didn't even have a word for it. They'd never practiced it. So they could never see, like, fathom what it would be. And the guy, he says that he would just felt very inspired by the Holy Spirit to have, and these were people who were listening. It wasn't like they were not wanting to hear the message. Like, they were showing up to listen to this guy. And he was like, I can't figure out how to explain it. And so in one of these meetings, which I guess would be like a church meeting or a rudimentary version of it, they were just meeting and talking. And he said, okay, he had one of the leaders stand up. And he had another one of the leaders stand up, probably from different families. And he said, go up, walk up to each other. And he was using their language. Walk up to each other and put your fist right in front of their face like you're going to hit them. Both of you. Mm-hmm. And they did. And they just the act of bringing that fist up, they basically started fighting. They knew that they weren't supposed to be, but they were just like, oh, they it like triggered. They were in a fight, you know? Mm-hmm. And he said, stop, 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 stop. Now, hug each other. And they did. And it was, he said, like the meeting broke open and they started crying. These two guys, these two grown men started crying. And then because these were two prominent men, everybody started crying. And it was like the whole room suddenly understood what forgiveness could be.
Wow.
And it never left me because we say it, we use the word, and we kind of understand what that is supposed to mean. We may not use it in heavenly terms all the time, but we at least get the concept. But to never understand the concept and then suddenly, boom, I've never experienced this before. Wow. I mean, what a neat story.
Wow, that's a fantastic story. Oh, Wiggins, I tell you what, that's how you start your pitch. You'll get whatever project you want done. You describe what you just described. Amazing. All right, there's still some time, by the way, to vote in the YouTube poll. What's the question again?
Is the GOP convention having an effect on the election? Couple different options. One being, yes, it absolutely is. Second, yeah, maybe a little bit. Third, no, it's not really moving the needle.
All right, let's get the results of that coming up after the break. Not too late to go vote in it. We'll give our own reaction to it as well. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for the Andy Fry Show. One more segment coming up on 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back. Another headline that just dropped here. Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont is doubling down his support for President Biden. Here's the headline from The Hill. Bernie Sanders says Biden could, quote, win big against Trump. I think of right now, it would have to be, I mean, a pandemic sized story to take down Donald Trump. I just don't see it happening right now, honestly.
I really don't want you to say pandemic sized story taking down Donald Trump, because that is literally what happened in 2020.
He was on his way to win and then that happened. So it would have to be that style story. But then again, you can't just say another pandemic. That would look very negative on Joe Biden more than anyone else. So, because people are tired of it, you know, imagine if they try to pull that again and then you have a Joe Biden trying to lock things down. Donald Trump says, not under my watch. He's in. Like, it's an even wider margin. So the YouTube poll is up. I think we got some results. How does it look?
Yeah, we do have some results. The poll itself is the GOP convention having an effect on the election? The results at this moment, and this poll will still be open for another 10 minutes or so, is first of all, no, it's not, has 15%. So most of you think that it is having some effect. Those of you who think it's having a major effect, 34%.
Wow.
And who's winning? Yes, it is, but it's a minor effect, 51. That's actually what I voted for, too.
Minor effect. I tend to think that it has basically no effect. I just don't see how... What was it, the Amber Rose? Is that her name? Mm-hmm. Ethan, you know, you're a big fan. I think it was her, but...
He's not the only fan, though.
The only fan. Oh, that's funny. Mm-hmm, yeah. So I think that's getting some people talking like, wow, look at these non-traditional people voting for a Republican. Outside of that, I think it has no effect. I don't think it gets people motivated to vote for Republicans or Democrats on either way. I think the one thing, like, if you think of the, let's say on the other side, the Democratic National Convention, how many moments of the DNC convention can you think of? I can only think of one moment that stands out in the history of DNC conventions. And we may be thinking of the same moment. Can you think of any?
The history of DNC conventions.
Yeah.
Man, can you think I can't think of any.
I think of one moment. It's when they dropped those balloons for Hillary Clinton.
Yes, right when you said it. Okay.
That's the only moment I can think of. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. oh, yeah. Well, how hilarious is that? So it's not the thing they want you to remember for it. So I think this has a similar effect just because, you know, we're engaged in this more frequently. We're someone that is watching this more actively because, you know, you kind of have, you want to know. You're in the news. You have a talk show. You want to stay up to date. I think we're kind of rare. I don't think people are engaged with it into the way where it has a deeper effect for people that aren't engaged. And the ones that aren't engaged are the ones that you're not going to get anyway. So that's what I think is happening there.
You know, it's going to be weird since you mentioned the Democrat National Convention that assuming it's Joe Biden, which I still am assuming it's going to be him just by default. Mm-hmm. You know, J.D. Vance about 8 years ago, maybe 9 years ago, was criticizing the person that he is now supporting. Mm-hmm. And then they get up there, and Nikki Haley, too, who get up there and say, look, I criticize the guy, but he is still the guy. Like, compared to Donald Trump, he's the guy. So, okay, I can buy that. But the DNC is going to be in a weird spot with a lot of these people having to get up and speak and say, yes, I know last week I said he was not able to serve as president. However, now he is. that's going to be very awkward because you always have those people in the party who are kind of dissenting voices. You always have that. And they come back out. This is where they all come back together. And it's big, happy family. How does the DNC happy family look when the vast majority of them are trying to push him out? And then they go, no, he's fine. All that stuff I said was not true.
That's so funny. Yes. And who knows what type of speakers will go out there. They'll get the Bernie Sanders. But they're not getting the, what do you say, George Clooney's of the world. So they'll have to at a point, they'll get the same pressure that Republicans got, which is get under the tent. We need you, you know, and look at what the alternative is if you don't show your support. And I was like that, too, back in 2016. You know, he wasn't my guy. Donald Trump wasn't my guy. I wanted to see Ted Cruz be successful in his bid. But, you know, I guess sometimes things, you know, you could win someone over because you could over exceed some of the expectations they had for you. And, you know, as a president, Donald Trump did some pretty amazing things that you're like leading into this, you didn't think were possible for any type of president. So I guess there could be some of that. But on the Democratic side, what's that convention going to look like? It's going to be boring because for the most part, aren't they going to put all the delegates' votes together in August before the convention so they can get on the ballot in Ohio? And
yeah, that's what I've heard, is that so August 7th would be the day.
All the procedures, you know, the theatric of the procedures will be gone. It's just going to be a bunch of, like, high-profile Democrat speakers. Who knows? Maybe Jack Black will go out there and make some jokes with Tenacious D will perform. But, you know, they'll get the celebrities and those type of people. They might have a little bit higher-profile celebrities than, what was the OnlyFans actor, that actress or whatever that Ethan likes? I can't remember her name again.
What was her name, Ethan?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Oh, you don't remember now.
Oh, okay.
We were just talking about her. That's a shame.
Yeah. All right. So those are the poll results. So what was the winner? It'll have a moderate to big.
Impact. Right now, the answer that's leading the poll, the question being, is the GOP convention having an effect on the election? 51%. So the majority say yes, minor effect. Let me just back up my belief in that it is having a minor effect. And it could be very minor, but I do believe it could have a minor effect. First is what you just said, Ryan Recker, about it kind of showcasing the big tent. Yep. I don't think anybody's going to remember DeSantis' speech. You know, J.D. Vance will be interesting tonight, unless he says something really shocking. People probably aren't going to remember that in November. They'll remember that he was there, but yeah, I don't know if you're going to remember the message. But the other reason, other than the sort of, hey, this isn't the old GOP, this is a very new GOP, which I think is important to remember, is that there's a lot of eyes right now on Donald Trump because of what happened Saturday. And he hasn't spoken yet. He's appeared at the RNC. I'm looking at video footage of him apparently live or on the floor right now.
Right.
So he's around, and there's a lot of interest to see just him. You know, he's this huge figure, and when something happens like that, it's global instant news. It's not just America. Like the way you felt on Saturday, there were probably people all over the world who may not felt the same way as you as not an American citizen, but they were as interested because, man, this affects everybody. And for him to get up tomorrow night and speak, it's very possible that people who may not have been paying attention might pay attention especially tomorrow, to see what Trump says, see how he addresses this whole thing, because it'll be his first real public appearance.
Can I give you some of my here's what could happen type of things in the future? I'll pull up the crystal ball, and I don't have a good track record of these crystal ball predictions actually paying off, but I'm going to guess what the Democrats are going to do for their strategy here. Okay. Here's what they're going to say. But backing up a little bit, Donald Trump as a politician and a president, all things considered, was Republican, but he was a pretty moderate Republican when it came to a lot of his different stances. But he is his personality and everything else that travels around him, very extreme. But his actual policies and the things that he did was pretty moderately Republican. So it wasn't like far right or anything. But they try to paint this picture that he's the biggest extremist dictator Hitler ever, right? That's the kind of rhetoric that got them in trouble to begin with for saying that. Here's what I think might happen. I say this, not, it's a little sensitive the way I'm saying this, so I got to be careful. Based on what we saw over the weekend with the attempt of President Trump's life, I think the Democrats are not going to be sensitive about this. Essentially, what they're going to say is, well, we need to resign to the idea that his policies were pretty moderate, but this J.D. Vance is extreme. He's even worse than Trump on the extreme level. So I think they're going to concede that they've lied about Donald Trump to some extent to make him sound like he's Hitler. They're going to try to pull some of that rhetoric back, and they're going to put all that attention. If something happens to him, this is the guy that's going to be in office, and look how extreme he is. I think that's going to be the playbook of the Democrats, and I don't think it's going to work because Joe Biden's just a corpse. I mean, like, I don't mean it like literally, but he is like a walking zombie, and he doesn't really offer much to the party anymore.
Interesting.
Do you think I'm way off on this? You can tell me if you think I'm way
I don't
off.
Think they'll focus on Vance. I think they'll still focus on Trump. In fact, I don't think you're way off in that I don't think they're going to pitch a great vision for America, because they haven't been doing that. They don't have a vision for America that's anything other than we're not that. So I can't imagine that they're going to do anything other than continue saying we're not that about Trump and now Vance. So in that sense, I would agree with you. I will, just one random fact. I am looking at Fox News right now, and this is the first time I've ever realized J.D. Vance is very tall.
Oh,
he is okay. Actually taller than Donald Trump.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, just random. Anyway.
And people have pointed out he's got a beard. It's been a long time since we've seen a president or vice president with a beard, by the way. It's been lots of years since that's happened. Let me point out something else that I think is pretty ridiculous. I think, who was it online? It was like Mark Hamill. Who's the one that Luke Skywalker and some of these other people, they were pointing out Donald Trump at the convention. And he's got, of course, the bandages on his ear. They're making fun of it because they said it was, you know, comically large. So they made fun of him on that. But they also, people have been taking photos of him, which look like he's got his eyes closed, right? Head down, eyes closed. And all things considered, the dude's probably on painkillers and other things after getting shot in the head. So I'm guessing that whatever medications he's on is subduing him a little bit and probably making him sleepy at night. So I feel like they should maybe give him a little bit of a pass on this as opposed to criticizing him. But instead, they are leaning full into this conspiracy. So I thought that was distasteful.
I mean, go with it. If that's what you got, the guy got shot in the ear, you know, narrowly avoided an assassination attempt, stands up and starts pumping his fist in the air while the Secret Service is trying to bring him down. I mean, yeah, tell me that he doesn't have energy. That's go with that message.
The guy, you know, I should ask my political historian friend, Richard Bino, is there been a more resilient politician in the history of politicians to go through court cases? I mean, all the things that have been said about him, nonstop barrage in a lot of its lies. And on top of that, he even has an assassination attempt where he gets shot in the ear and still gets up, and that's what he does. I don't think there can be a more resilient politician. But then, you know what? This is just quite an election cycle. I don't think anything ever plays out the way you think they will. I'll be back again tomorrow. Annie Fry Show, I guess, will be the Manny Fry Show, and I look forward to spending it with you guys. If you want to find me online, Ryan Recker Radio, Ryan Recker Radio on Facebook. We hope to see you again tomorrow, 97.1 FM. Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont is doubling down his support for President Biden. Here's the headline from The Hill. Bernie Sanders says Biden could, quote, win big against Trump. I think of right now, it would have to be, I mean, a pandemic-sized story to take down Donald Trump. I just don't see it happening right now, honestly.
I really don't want you to say pandemic size story taking down Donald Trump, because that is literally what happened in 2020.
He was on his way to win, and then that happened. So it would have to be that style story. But then again, you can't just say another pandemic. That would look very negative on Joe Biden more than anyone else. So because people are tired of it. You know, imagine if they try to pull that again, and then you have a Joe Biden trying to lock things down. Donald Trump says, not under my watch. He's in. Like, it's an even wider margin. So the YouTube poll is up. I think we got some results. How does it look?
Yeah, we do have some results. The poll itself is the GOP convention having an effect on the election? The results at this moment, and this poll will still be open for another 10 minutes or so, is, first of all, no, it's not, has 15%. So most of you think that it is having some effect. Those of you who think it's having a major effect, 34%.
Wow.
And who's winning? Yes, it is, but it's a minor effect. 51. That's actually what I voted for, too.
Minor effect. I tend to think that it has basically no effect. I just don't see how... What was the Amber Rose? Is that her name? Mm-hmm. Ethan, you know, you're a big fan. I think it was her, but...
He's not the only fan, though.
The only fan. Oh, that's funny. Mm-hmm, yeah. So I think that's getting some people talking, like, wow, look at these non-traditional people voting for a Republican. Outside of that, I think it has no effect. I don't think it gets people motivated to vote for Republicans or Democrats on either way. I think the one thing, like, if you think of the, let's say on the other side, the Democratic National Convention, how many moments of the DNC convention can you think of? I can only think of one moment that stands out in the history of DNC conventions. And we may be thinking of the same moment. Can you think of any?
History of DNC conventions.
Yeah.
Man, can you think I can't think of any.
I think of one moment. It's when they dropped those balloons for Hillary Clinton.
Yes, right when you said it. Okay.
That's the only moment I can think of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, how hilarious is that? So it's not the thing they want you to remember for. So I think this has a similar effect, just because, you know, we're engaged in this more frequently. We're someone that is watching this more actively because, you know, you kind of have, you want to know. You're in the news. You have a talk show. You want to stay up to date. I think we're kind of rare. I don't think people are engaged with it into the way where it has a deeper effect for people that aren't engaged. And the ones that aren't engaged are the ones that you're not going to get anyway. So that's what I think is happening there.
You know, what's going to be weird, since you mentioned the Democrat National Convention, that assuming it's Joe Biden, which I still am assuming it's going to be him just by default. Mm-hmm. You know, J.D. Vance, about 8 years ago, maybe 9 years ago, was criticizing the person that he is now supporting. Mm-hmm. And then they get up there, and Nikki Haley, too, will get up there and say, look, I criticize the guy, but he is still the guy. Like, compared to Donald Trump, he's the guy. So, okay, I can buy that. But the DNC is going to be in a weird spot with a lot of these people having to get up and speak and say, yes, I know last week I said he was not able to serve as president. However, now he is. that's going to be very awkward, because you always have those people in the party who are kind of dissenting voices. You always have that. And they come back out. This is where they all come back together. And it's big, happy family. How does the DNC happy family look when the vast majority of them are trying to push him out? And then they go, no, he's fine. All that stuff I said was not true.
That's so funny. Yes. And who knows what type of speakers will go out there. They'll get the Bernie Sanders, but they're not getting the, what do you say, George Clooney's of the world. So they'll have to, at a point, they'll get the same pressure that Republicans got, which is get under the tent. We need you, you know, and what look at what the alternative is if you don't show your support. And I was like that, too, back in 2016. You know, he wasn't my guy. Donald Trump wasn't my guy. I wanted to see Ted Cruz be successful in his bid. But, you know, I guess sometimes things, you know, you could win someone over because you could over exceed some of the expectations they had for you. And, you know, as a president, Donald Trump did some pretty amazing things that you're like, leading into this, you didn't think were possible for any type of president. So I guess there could be some of that. But on the Democratic side, what's that convention going to look like? It's going to be boring, because for the most part, aren't they going to put all the delegates' votes together in August before the convention so they can get on the ballot in Ohio?
And yeah, that's what I've heard, is that August 7th would be the day.
all the procedures, you know, the theatric of the procedures will be gone. It's just going to be a bunch of like high profile Democrat speakers. Who knows? Maybe Jack Black will go out there and make some jokes with Tenacious D will perform. But, you know, they'll get the celebrities and those type of people. They might have a little bit higher profile celebrities than what was the OnlyFans actor, that actress or whatever that Ethan likes. I can't remember her name again.
What was her name, Ethan?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Oh, you don't remember now.
Oh, okay.
We were just talking about her. That's a shame.
Yeah. All right. So those are the poll results. So what was the winner? It'll have a moderate to big
Impact. Right now, the answer that's leading the poll, the question being, is the GOP convention having an effect on the election? 51%, so the majority say yes, minor effect. Let me just back up my belief in that it is having a minor effect, and it could be very minor, but I do believe it could have a minor effect. First is what you just said, Ryan Recker, about it kind of showcasing the big tent.
Yep.
I don't think anybody's going to remember DeSantis' speech. You know, J.D. Vance will be interesting tonight unless he says something really shocking. People probably aren't going to remember that in November. They'll remember that he was there. But yeah, I don't know if you're going to remember the message. But the other reason, other than the sort of, hey, this isn't the old GOP, this is a very new GOP, which I think is important to remember, is that there's a lot of eyes right now on Donald Trump because of what happened Saturday. And he hasn't spoken yet. He's appeared at the RNC. I'm looking at video footage of him apparently live or on the floor right now.
Right.
So he's around, and there's a lot of interest to see just him. You know, he's this huge figure, and when something happens like that, it's global instant news. It's not just America. Like the way you felt on Saturday, there were probably people all over the world who may not felt the same way as you as not an American citizen, but they were as interested because, man, this affects everybody. And for him to get up tomorrow night and speak, it's very possible that people who may not have been paying attention might pay attention, especially tomorrow, to see what Trump says, see how he addresses this whole thing, because it'll be his first real public appearance.
Can I give you some of my here's what could happen type of things in the future? I'll pull up the crystal ball, and I don't have a good track record of these crystal ball predictions actually paying off, but I'm going to guess what the Democrats are going to do for their strategy here. Okay.
Okay.
Here's what they're going to say. But backing up a little bit, Donald Trump as a politician and a president, all things considered, was Republican, but he was a pretty moderate Republican when it came to a lot of his different stances. But he is his personality and everything else that travels around him, very extreme. But his actual policies and the things that he did was pretty moderately Republican. So it wasn't like far right or anything. But they try to paint this picture that he's the biggest extremist dictator Hitler ever, right? That's the kind of rhetoric that got them in trouble to begin with for saying that. Here's what I think might happen. I say this, not, it's a little sensitive the way I'm saying this, so I got to be careful. Based on what we saw over the weekend with the attempt of President Trump's life, I think the Democrats are not going to be sensitive about this. Essentially, what they're going to say is, well, we need to resign to the idea that his policies were pretty moderate, but this J.D. Vance is extreme. He's even worse than Trump on the extreme level. So I think they're going to concede that they've lied about Donald Trump to some extent to make him sound like he's Hitler. They're going to try to pull some of that rhetoric back, and they're going to put all that attention. If something happens to him, this is the guy that's going to be in office, and look how extreme he is. I think that's going to be the playbook of the Democrats, and I don't think it's going to work because Joe Biden's just a corpse. I mean, like, I don't mean it like literally, but he is like a walking zombie, and he doesn't really offer much to the party anymore.
Interesting.
Do you think I'm way off on this? You can tell me if you think.
I don't think they'll focus on Vance. I think they'll still focus on Trump. In fact, I don't think you're way off in that. I don't think they're going to pitch a great vision for America because they haven't been doing that. They don't have a vision for America that's anything other than we're not that. So I can't imagine that they're going to do anything other than continue saying we're not that about Trump and now Vance. So in that sense, I would agree with you. I will just one random fact. I am looking at Fox News right now, and this is the first time I've ever realized J.D. Vance is very tall.
Oh,
he is okay. Actually taller than Donald Trump.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, just random. Anyway.
And people have pointed out he's got a beard. It's been a long time since we've seen a president or vice president with a beard, by the way. It's been lots of years since that's happened. Let me point out something else that I think is pretty ridiculous. I think, who was it online? It was like Mark Hamill. Who's the one that Luke Skywalker and some of these other people, they were pointing out Donald Trump at the convention. And he's got, of course, the bandages on his ear. They're making fun of it because they said it was, you know, comically large. So they made fun of him on that. But they also, people have been taking photos of him, which look like he's got his eyes closed, right? Head down, eyes closed. And all things considered, the dude's probably on painkillers and other things after getting shot in the head. So I'm guessing that whatever medications he's on is subduing him a little bit and probably making him sleepy at night. So I feel like they should maybe give him a little bit of a pass on this as opposed to criticizing him. But instead, they are leaning full into this conspiracy. So I thought that was distasteful.
I mean, go with it. If that's what you got, the guy got shot in the ear, you know, narrowly avoided an assassination attempt, stands up and starts pumping his fist in the air while the Secret Service is trying to bring him down. I mean, yeah, tell me that he doesn't have energy. Go with that message.
The guy, I should ask my political historian friend, Rich Rubino, is there been a more resilient politician in the history of politicians to go through court cases? I mean, all the things that have been said about him, nonstop barrage in a lot of its lies. And on top of that, he even has an assassination attempt where he gets shot in the ear and still gets up, and that's what he does. I don't think there can be a more resilient politician. But then, you know what? This is just quite an election cycle. I don't think anything ever plays out the way you think they will. I'll be back again tomorrow. Annie Fry Show, I guess, will be the Manny Fry Show, and I look forward to spending it with you guys. If you want to find me online, Ryan Recker Radio, Ryan Recker Radio on Facebook. We hope to see you again tomorrow, 97.1 FM. The sweet heart.